armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying to save
idea?
The pump up. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Idea?
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. Ohtani didn't hit a home run. Get it! Suck on that, ESPN!
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah,
go out and win the series. The Sarge is on the way. He'll be joining us here very shortly. We'll be talking about the American League side of the trading deadline. But today, to start the show off, we're going to talk the National League signing. If you missed the game, we had it right here on Braves Country HD, pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves winning the series, winning the game, pounding the Angels. How about that? I said I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game and that I thought the Braves would win. But I had no idea that, honestly, you can't really complain with what Yonny Chirin has brought to the table today. Or as everybody is affectionately starting to call him here in Braves country, Cheerios. Cheerios went out there and pitched a pretty good game, honestly. And I believe that he is going to, if he survives the cut, somebody's getting cut, and that's the thing. Somebody's getting cut from the Braves or getting sent down. The thing is, he doesn't have any more options. But I thought his sinker looked really good, and I really felt like that all in all, the team looked good in general, but also Chirinos went out there and did something we didn't really expect him to do. He went out there and gave us innings. The Atlanta Braves, who would have thought we'd have the pitching advantage from Yonny Chirinos versus Lucas Giolito, who the Angels went out and signed Giolito and tried to sell to their fan base that this was going all in, that this was going to help keep Ohtani in town. He goes out there and gets bombed. What did he have? He had 3 2/3, 9 earned runs, gave up 3 home runs. We talked about it in the pregame show if you didn't join us, but I talked about the fact that he gives up a lot of home runs. He's a fly ball strikeout pitcher. That's not going to play well against the Braves. His first time through the order, he managed pretty well. Second time, they were bombing him, and the Atlanta Braves get the win. Cheerios. It's just a lot easier to say Cheerios than Chirinos, isn't it? Cheerios got the win, too. 5 innings. Actually had 5 strikeouts, which is kind of high for him. He's not really a strikeout pitcher. But he had that sinker working, and he was pulling the string on the sinker and the splitter and going in and out, in and out, in and out. And when he first came there, we talked about the fact that he is at this stage in his career, he's not a power pitcher. He's still a ground ball pitcher, but he's a ground ball pitcher that's going to try to keep you off balance. And honestly, he's a guy that on most days, after you get him through the lineup the second time, you got to get him out. But that's fine. If he's in the back of your bullpen or front of your bullpen, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Didn't give the game ball out, was going to do that here. Game ball today. I mean, you could give it to several people, right? So many. You know what? Because I picked him to click, I'm going to give it to Acuna. Acuna went 3-for-4, had the home run, had the 3-run home run, and hustled around the base paths. And the Braves come in, win it 12-5. They win the series. They dropped the first one. You hated to see that. You knew we had a good chance to win last night, which we did, Spencer Strider night. And then today, that's why I wanted to win the first game so much, because the second game was going to be, or the third game was going to be a toss-up. And all in all, you got to love what you saw. You got to love what you saw from the Atlanta Braves. And now we get the day off. We're off tomorrow. And then we head to Chicago for a tough three-game series. And this begins a bit of a tough stretch for the Braves as they head out on the road. It's never easy. It does not matter who your opponent is. It's never easy to win on the road. But the Cubs are right there in the playoff chase. So I believe it's going to be a very, very difficult road trip to navigate. Doesn't mean we can't get wins, but just saying that, but just think we're just going to roll them out there and get the wins is a totally different situation. You look at what they've got going on right now. So Friday, undecided, probably Max Fried, and we're waiting on the announcement of that. I think we might get it post-game with Snicker very shortly. If not, we're going to get it him on. Right now they have it lined up for Elder to pitch on Saturday. And you would have Elder go on Saturday. You would have on Sunday, we would send Charlie Morton to the mound. So if you go with the idea, now look, it is set up where Elder could pitch Friday. He's had the days off. But I think they want to slide Fried in there, and it'll be Max, it'll be Elder, it'll be Morton. Gives everybody an extra day of rest. In theory, even though he hasn't pitched in quite some time, it gives Max an extra day of rest because he pitched on Thursday, and so it would actually give him 5 days off in between his Thursday start and his Saturday start and his Friday start. So I'd be shocked if it's not Max Fried, and we will have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play right here on Braves Country HD. Like and subscribe today. The Braves get the win. So what it looks like in the Cubs series, we'll take a quick peek at it right now. We'll do more of this on tomorrow. But might as well go ahead and look into the series real quick. Let's just assume it's Max Fried on Friday. It's Fried versus Hendricks. Hendricks has actually been pitching pretty well. He's not a guy that blows you away. He's going to try to keep you off balance. Hopefully we get warm weather in Chicago. We should. It's August, but you never know. The Braves bats have struggled in Wrigley Field when it's been cool and the water and the wind has been blowing in. So hopefully we get warm air. Right now it's being projected around 75 degrees. First pitch on Friday, that's according to AccuWeather. And then Saturday, so if it's Fried versus Hendricks, and I don't expect them to push Fried more than about five innings, maybe if he's really rolling six, but you're not going to push him on his first time back. They're looking at big picture with Max Fried. They're not going to go out here and just say, well, let's push him, let's see how much he's got. For the love of God, don't let him see seven innings and 110 pitches like they pushed Strider last night. Saturday, tough matchup. It's Elder versus Stroman. Stroman's been a little more hittable recently, but he's, what is he, 10-8? He's got 3.85 ERA. So he's pitched well all in all. And Stroman has typically pitched the Braves pretty well. And then Sunday, it'll be Morton versus Justin Steele. So we're getting their three best pitchers. So this is going to be a fun series. It's always a fun series in Wrigley. Looking forward to it. We're going to bring all three games to you, even the Sunday game. I know we don't do the Sunday games a lot, but we're going to bring all three games to you. It's a big series. It's an important series. The Cubs are right there in the wild card push. Braves still trying to lock down not only the division, but the Braves are trying to lock down the best record in baseball. We just took a half game lead on everybody because we played early. So we're 3.5 in front of Baltimore for the best record in baseball. 5 in front of Tampa. 8.5 in front of the Dodgers. 8.5 in front of the Texas Rangers. So looking at that and our magic number, I'll go ahead and put it in the chat because I know a lot of people ask about this. The magic number now will move from, if it was 46 this morning, if you missed that, it's now 45. So magic number is now 45 to win the division. And then, of course, we've got much bigger ideas. And we'll probably start keeping up with that as well. But I want to win the division first, and then we'll worry about the magic number to get the best record in baseball. So magic number is 45. This is the home stretch. This is when the rubber meets the road. This is when you're cooking with gas. It's the last 2 months of Major League Baseball. It's the push. And the Atlanta Braves, let's be honest, they you know what they said to everybody at the trading deadline? Essentially what they told you. We're damn good. And we think we can prove it. And we don't need all the outside help. And we don't need to gut our farm system. The Braves have taken a hit on their farm system recently only because they're all playing. They're all playing up in the big leagues. You look at guys that had the Braves farm system elite a couple of years ago. We were 1, 2, and 3, depending on the outlet, just a couple of years ago in the farm system. And now we're in the bottom third. And why is that? Because Michael Harris II is now starting in center field. It's because we had to move prospects that have equated into Sean Murphy behind home plate and Matt Olson standing at first base. It's because we had to move guys from our minor league system, and Bryce Elder's now starting. It's because we've had to move guys around from our system to make moves to bring in Rossell Iglesias. So when you see our system not ranked that high, it's not the sky is falling. They've got some pretty good guys down there, but it's not to the level of other teams because the other teams are trying to build their guys up to get them to be good enough to be starting and competing and winning at the major league level. The Braves are already there. And I still think we've got a very talented system. You look at the fact that AJ Smith-Shawver is down back on the farm. That kid is going to be lights out before it's all said and done. He really is. He's got an easy glide fastball. And as his second and third pitches get better and better and better, he's gonna be elite. I still have a lot of faith in Jared Schuster. I think Jared Schuster is gonna be good. I think Dylan Dodd and Mike Soroka are gonna end up being parts of trades to bring in better pieces. But I think that they still have very good outlooks in their careers down the road. And there's a couple other guys, but we won't go into the entire system today. There's a lot to get into when you look at the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Now, today, as far as games of interest going on around the league, as far as with the Atlanta Braves and games that we're keeping an eye on, so today you're looking at games that you want to pay attention to. Phillies and Marlins play at 6:40 tonight. That Zach Wheeler and Braxton Garrett. The Phillies have taken the first couple games. We got to pull for the Marlins to get one here. You don't want either one of them sweeping each other. You really want them to split. The Marlins spit the bit. I believe it was last night. David Robertson comes in and blows the 1-0 lead. They lose 3-1. He gets jacked around. So that's a game you want to pay attention to. If there's one game that is of interest in the division, that's it. Mets are at the Royals, but they're done. They've sold. They've given up. They're 6 games out of .500. They're not making the playoffs. I watched a little bit of their game last night, and I was looking at it. And this is more from just a betting perspective when you're watching it, and you're like, well, would you start thinking about taking the Mets? Are they going to be good value? And as I'm watching this, I'm like, it doesn't matter what they give you in the starting pitching, like Senga going tonight. So, for instance, if you're going to take the Mets tonight, I say take them in the first 5 innings because there's nobody worth a crap left in their bullpen. And they're not going to win many games down the stretch. They might get some leads because they've got some pretty good pitching. Quintana pitched pretty well last night. Senga's been pitching pretty well. And those are two decent little pieces that the Mets can build on. By the way, if you missed the conversation, I'm not sure if I ever finished the thought during the game because a lot of times you end up getting sidetracked as you're doing the play-by-play. But here's the thing that went on with the – it was Ken Rosenthal was talking – I guess essentially, I don't know if he reached out to him or if Max Scherzer wanted to set the story straight. It's really, really strange, but here's the deal. Max Scherzer went and basically he snitched on the conversation that he had with Billy Epler. And the short of it is, without reading the whole thing, because the whole thing's like, you know, this long and they're just trying to sell ads and whatnot. But essentially, what the Mets decided to do is sell. And they're not planning on rebooting for next year. So if you're a Mets fan and you're like, well, where does this go? They are looking at long term. I think they know there's no way in hell they're getting Shohei Ohtani. The fan base should have known this from the jump. Shohei Ohtani's not coming east. There's one team east that I think could pull it off. I still don't think he's coming east. The only team that I think he would come to is Boston. If you saw the clip of when he went to play the Red Sox and the heavy Asian influence that they have in Boston, and I was just in Boston, and I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of Asian transplants that are living in Boston. Love Shohei Ohtani. So if the Boston Red Sox signed Shohei Ohtani, they could make money hand over. They would make their damn money back. I don't care if you gave him $750 million. The jersey sales alone, I'm telling you, it is crazy how much they love Shohei Ohtani. The Angels were on. I was in the sports book. They were glued. They could care less about the damn Red Sox. They didn't care that the Yankees were on. They were all glued to Shohei Ohtani. So that's the one wild card. But outside of that, he's going to stay West. I believe he's going to be a Dodger. I would put it at, if you're hedging your bet on who does he sign with, I would say 75-80% chance he's a Dodger. A slim 5% chance that he goes and stays with the Angels. Probably less than 5% chance at this point. The rest I would fill up with the San Francisco Giants. And a 1%, 2% chance would I sliver in the Boston Red Sox. That's it. There's no realistic, because I don't believe Seattle is going to pony up. If Seattle got really serious, you never know. With him being from Japan, he may have grown up watching and pulling for Ichiro, and because their games are always on over in Japan. So Ichiro's games were always on. So there's young kids right now who are always watching the Angels, right? So there could be that, but I think he wants to blaze his own trail. And him being a Dodger, I mean, it just writes itself. It's a story, but the guy would make just a ton of money if he went to the Dodgers. The Dodgers will make a ton of money. But with the Mets, back to that point, according to Scherzer, that he dimed out Billy Epler, which is really shady. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been saying this for a long time. Max Scherzer is slime. He is absolute slime ball. I didn't like the way he handled the CBA negotiations. He's always been a me guy. The moment it got tough in New York, he tried to stick his chest out and say, well, we're going to have a conversation with the front office. What? Hey, you're not. You're going to have a conversation. And by the way, as you're having that conversation, pack your bags, bozo. They are going to pay the state of Texas, the Mets are going to pay the state of Texas $90 million over the next several years, or the next few years, sorry. The end of 2024 and possibly 25, most likely 25, with the Verlander. $90 million they're going to pay the state of Texas, Houston Astros and Texas Rangers. The Mets are going to pay $90 million for those two guys to not wear Mets uniforms. That's how bad they wanted to get rid of Scherzer. And when they got rid of Scherzer, I think it came to a point where I think Verlander got caught up in the mix. I think Verlander probably went to him and said, what's going on, man? Well, we couldn't keep Scherzer happy, so now we got to sell off. If you want to go, we're going to try to make it happen. I think they did Scherzer a solid. Excuse me. They did Verlander a solid after they basically gave the big middle finger to Scherzer. But Scherzer went to the press and told Rosenthal that he was told by Billy Epler, the GM, behind closed doors, which means keep your mouth shut. This is between me and you. He goes and shoots his mouth off and says that Epler told him this is a complete reboot. This is not going to be a rebuild, a reload situation. We're not going to try to compete in 24. It's more like 25, probably 26, 2025, 2026. We're not going to really go forward in 2024. We're changing our entire philosophy, probably without saying it, or maybe they did say it and he just didn't let him know it was said. We're changing our philosophy because you suck. You went out there, we spent all this money on you, you didn't live up to your contract. So what we're going to try to do is pay these teams to take you, and maybe some of these prospects we get back can change our team 3 years down the road. So if you're a Mets fan, you're going to have to be patient once again. I know you don't want to hear that as a Mets fan, because all they heard the last couple of off seasons was that Steve Cohen, because Steve Cohen said it, so let's be fair, Steve Cohen is the one that went out and said this mess. He said, we will win a World Series within 5 years. Now he won't even answer that question. The press is asking, well, what happened to the five-year plan? And he goes, next question. So what the hell are we talking about? But Steve Cohen got in here and said to the New York Mets fan base, 5 years from now, I want a World Series championship. And this is the third season going in, realistically. And they're not going to go forward in 24, and I seriously doubt 25 is going to be some big, big seismic shift. There'll be some free agents out there. There will be some free agents out there. Hell, Max Fried will be a free agent. I doubt that he signs with anybody. Max Fried, he's deserved it. He's going to want his chance in the sun. He's going to leave Atlanta. That sucks. But you know what? The difference between him leaving and other guys leaving other organizations, Anthopoulos usually has a plan. And the plan, he sticks with the plan. He's not going to chase one guy off the edge and let that one guy tear up his entire plan. So I'm going to hate to see Fried go. He's one of my favorite pitchers I've ever watched with the Atlanta Braves. And his Game 6 performance in the World Series was phenomenal. But it happens, and you got to move on. I mean, if Greg Stinkin' Maddux and Tom Stinkin' Glavine can leave the Braves, anybody can leave the Braves. If you will trade John Smoltz, anybody can be dealt. Anybody. Was it Hank Aaron played for the Brewers at one point? Anybody. If Hank Aaron can leave the Braves, anybody can leave the Braves. So But it's unbelievable that Scherzer would dime out his former employer. A conversation behind closed doors. It goes without saying, but you know what it is? Scherzer wants to get out there and look like the hero. He wants to go, hey, man, I came here trying to save the Mets fan base, trying to really win one. And then the minute they trade a closer, who, by the way, just got bombed last night by the Phillies, he acts like the sky is falling. If he would have kept his mouth shut and went in and said, hey, I think we can do something, him and Verlander may have decided to stick together, and they could have maybe made some adjustments next year, maybe made a playoff run. Now it's a complete rebuild. They're going to trade everything they can trade. Wait till the offseason. The offseason, they're going to try to move some guys. I bet you Quintana gets moved. I bet you Sang, I think they'll hold on to. He's too controllable. They still have four more years. He's pitched well. You'd be an absolute mental patient to trade him. And he's pretty much an innings eater. You do have to, though he'll go out there and pitch five or six innings. He also needs a week off, so that's debatable if he's an innings eater. But he's been pretty reliable. But Quintana, I believe, will have one more year. I believe he signed a two-year deal, so he'll have one more year. They'll probably shuffle him off somewhere. They're going to get young. They're going to try to get the fan base excited about that, and fair enough. They still ought to fire Billy Epler. Explain to me how Billy Epler has a job this morning when they just paid $90 million to not have his two biggest free agent signings play for them. $90 million! Good Lord! I mean, come on! And as far as what it looks like with the trade deadline, with the National League, look, there was nothing really big that happened. You go through the gauntlet of the teams, and what did Philadelphia add? Michael Lorenzen. He's a journeyman right-hander that I think is going to get pounded in Philadelphia. That is a short porch, and he is a fly ball pitcher. How's that going to work out? You look at the other thing, you know, honestly, the team that was most aggressive in the National League was the Marlins. I would say keep an eye on them. If they can make the playoffs, they could be a scary team into the playoff chase. The Dodgers tried. They tried like hell. But Erod didn't want to go west. Or he's saying that and being nice and for some reason doesn't really want to play for the LA Dodgers. I wouldn't know that to be true, but it's really strange. I talked about this on the pregame show. I think he declined the trade because he wants a shorter season, because he's at the end of an opt out. He's going to opt out, and when he opts out, he's going to be hitting the free agent market, and he wants the most time down so that he doesn't want to risk an injury when he's this close to an opt-out. And so that tells you that he is not a guy, you know, they say guys are gamers. He's not a gamer. He's a moneyer. He doesn't give a damn about winning that championship. He goes, get me to the bank. So we'll see what happens there. He says he wanted to stay close to the East Coast because of his family. And he is from the East Coast. But what happens if in the offseason he signs his deal with the San Francisco Giants or the Seattle Mariners? Explain that one away. So the Dodgers tried. They got nothing. Arizona was pretty aggressive. They added some pieces in the bullpen and whatnot. Nothing ground-shaking. Same thing with San Diego. They added a couple of really just role players. But the team that did the most, that was most aggressive, was probably the Miami Marlins. They didn't bring anything in that was going to change the game. That prospect, by the way, that they traded to Cleveland for Josh Bell, of all people. Josh Bell's okay. He's highly rated. So this tells me one of two things. Either Kim Yang pulled a freaking fast one on him, or they really have overvalued Josh Bell. So either that prospect, who was ranked number four in the Marlins organization, who the Marlins have a top organization when it comes to prospects, right? Either A, because John Zagoro was a throw-in. We talked about it yesterday when it happened. He got DFA'd last night, early this morning. So he gets DFA'd, so he was just a throw-in as a part of the deal because they knew they were going to release him anyways. That right there was just a numbers game. But they gave up their number four prospect for Josh Bell. Josh Bell is a dud at this point in his career. About 4 or 5 years ago, I would have loved to have had Josh Bell. I was a big Josh Bell fan. He doesn't have the power that he used to have. He's not athletic. He's kind of a liability in the field. He's more of a DH spot. I guess you could DH him, but I'd rather have Soler as the DH. I guess you could put Soler out in left field. I would have loved to have seen the Braves add Adam Duvall, but look, the Red Sox are still in it, so they weren't going to trade him. And rightfully so, they weren't going to trade him. I would have loved to have seen the Atlanta Braves add one of the pitchers that they were rumored for, one of the starting pitchers. But I think the asking price was too high. So they're looking at it as, look, if everyone's healthy, we're almost going to have too many starting pitchers, but you can't bank on that. Freed's coming back. Hopefully everything's copacetic. We don't have any more bumps and bruises with him. Strider's pitching well. Elder's pitching well. Charlie Morton is pitching well enough. And so that is essentially your lineup. I think in a pinch, you could really still rely on Schuster. I think in a pinch, you could rely on Schauver to go out there and get you some innings. It's not what you want, but it's what you could end up with. The bullpen, if everybody comes back, they haven't talked much about Jesse Chavez, but I think they're taking it slow with him. It doesn't sound like it's anything that they're super concerned with. If it was, I do think they'd have been a little more aggressive. So let's look at the fact that the bullpen is going to get Dylan Lee back soon. He threw to live batters yesterday. Kyle Wright threw in the bullpen yesterday. So we'll see what happens with Kyle Wright. Hopefully he comes back as well. Max Fried's due back probably Friday. So the starting rotation looks pretty good. What you're going to be looking at now is that the guys that get DFA'd, the Braves may take a look at them. The problem is we're at the bottom of the barrel because we're at the top of the league. Best record in baseball, 69th win today. So we get our 69th win against 37 losses. So when a guy gets DFA'd, it's got to go all the way through the waiver wire to get to us. I saw that the Yankees DFA'd an outfielder. I seriously doubt he gets to the Braves. But you never know. But they'll be aggressive if they see guys out there on the waiver wire that they think that they can grab. But remember, unlike other years, there's no longer the waiver wire trades. Remember that game? And I'm so kind of glad they got rid of it because it's so damn confusing to explain to fans. But they used to show out there and you would put a guy on waiver, and then if someone tried to grab him, you could pull him back, and then you could work out a trade and all that nonsense. But it had to get past this guy, and you had to be able to – it's junk. I'm glad they got rid of that. Because now the trading deadline is the trading deadline. What it was supposed to do, it was supposed to make it a very, very exciting trading deadline day. A made-for-TV extravaganza. It was a dud yesterday. The Braves add Brad Hand. That's great. I'm sure he'll be available. They added him to the roster today, so he'll be available to pitch this weekend. You knew he wasn't going to pitch today. He got traded, last night? He pitched on Monday, flew in from Colorado. There's no way in hell on a day game. You go, hey, old man River, go out there and sling a couple out here in the hot sun. Let's really see if we can torque that elbow out, right? That's not going to happen. So I expect to see him in the Chicago series. We've got him, Dylan Lee, on the way. I talked about he pitched to, I saw the video of it, the full video. I was able to capture that. And he pitched to the Braves batters, live BP basically, right? But it wasn't like your typical BP where he's just soft tossing the ball, getting injected. He was out there. Hell, he struck out Rosario. Shocker there, right? But anyways, Lee looked good. Freed looks like he's ready to rock. Wright is starting about where Freed was about 3 weeks ago. So do the math. Probably first week, maybe even second week of September. I'm hoping somewhere right around Labor Day weekend, we get a Kyle Wright sighting on an Atlanta Braves pitching mound. That would give him about 4, maybe even 5 starts before the end of the season to really hone his. Because look, Kyle Wright, we don't know what he's going to be. I expect Max Fried to be Max Fried when he comes back. But Kyle Wright, his career's been like that. He was phenomenal last year. But after the injury, is he going to come out looking all Mike Soroka-y, getting blasted because he's changed his delivery because he doesn't want to hurt himself, all that junk? If so, duck for cover. But we've got a lot of games left on the docket that we're going to be trying to maneuver. And with the big lead, there's going to be games that it's going to drive you nuts. It is going to drive you nuts. You're going to see games where you're sitting there looking at everything and going, well, now what do I do? I'm sitting here watching a game and it looks like that they're just giving up. And there's going to be games where it's going to feel that way because they're not going to press the pedal down. Not only because they have played so well and have built the right not to press the pedal down. In other words, like exhaust your bullpen. The other thing is, remember what happened last year when we had the pedal mashed down all the way into late September? Well, we ran out of gas coasting into Philly. Team was dead. I guarantee you there is a constant conversation about that. There has to be a constant conversation. So there you have that. And the Braves are going to be heading into this. And you look at the rest of the National League. I mean, honestly, who made a deal in the National League that makes you go, ooh, man, we're in trouble? The most significant deal that was made was Houston getting Verlander. And was that significant? I felt like he never left. I said this in the pregame show. I feel like he took like a 4-month vacation to New York and said, well, that sucked. Get me out of here. I'm going back to Texas. It's the epitome of what a lot of people say about New York. It's a great place to visit, but you don't want to pitch there. You don't want to live there. I mean, someone's got to make a t-shirt about that. Put Verlander on there. It's a great place to visit, but you don't want to pitch there. That's gold, Jerry. Gold, it's like Ovaltine's gold. So tonight's games, back to what you may want to pay attention to as a Braves fan, what you're watching, what you're pulling for. Which tonight, I noticed on ESPN Plus, the Orioles and Blue Jays are on. And we're obviously pulling for the Blue Jays at this point. That's going to be a tough one. Should be a good game. But Grayson Rodriguez pitched much better recently. By the way, Houston just took a 3-2 lead over Cleveland. McCormick went yard again. Man, that kid has been on fire the last three and a half weeks. It's dumbfounding that he doesn't play every day. Like, there's still, it's not quite a platoon, but it's almost like a mini platoon. It's dumbfounding. But Grayson Rodriguez is going to the bump. You look at his numbers, it looks terrible. He's pitched much better since he came back from the farm. He's going to be against Kikuchi. It'd be nice to get a W and push our, get the Blue Jays a W and push our lead on Baltimore to 4 games. Tampa is playing the Yankees again. That is a very good pitching matchup. You can find a way to consume that. McClanahan versus Gerrit Cole. The over under is 7.5, and I swear that feels about 3 runs too high. I mean, that is going to be an absolute lights out shootout, pitcher style. That game might be over within 1.5 hours. They're going to be striking each other out left and right, pop-ups. And the Yankees desperately need that win. They desperately need to get the win. You cannot welcome in the Tampa Bay Rays. They lost the first game 5-1. They lost last night's game 5-2. You cannot welcome in the Tampa Bay Rays and get swept at home, Yankee Stadium, chasing down the wild card. And, oh, by the way, their daddy is coming to town tomorrow. It says it's a Fox game. Well, that's interesting. So there is a Fox game tomorrow night on the mothership Fox, not like FS1, Yankees Astros. So that is interesting. Fox is starting Thursday night baseball. So the Braves are off, so if you're looking for something tomorrow night, Yankees, Astros. Christian Javier, who threw 2 gems in Yankee Stadium last year, is going to the mound against the Yankees and Clark Schmidt. Holy crap. If they lose tonight and get swept, I mean, they could, that thing could run out of control, be a 6-7-game losing streak by the time they get in with the Astros. Astros have owned them. When's Verlander? Hell, Verlander didn't even have to get on a plane, did he? They're going into Yankee Stadium. Got traded. I guarantee you they said, "Pah, stay where you're at, man. We're going to be in New York a couple of days. Go, you know, go take a load off." I would love to know when he's pitching. That is almost must-see TV with the Braves playing. Don't let it be the 1 o'clock game on Saturday. That game's not on national TV, and it's – they're playing Sunday. Is that – come on! That'd have been a perfect time. Carlos Rodon is on the mound for the Yankees. It's undecided. But that needs to be flexed to the ESPN night game. Carlos Rodon and the Yankees put Verlander there for the Astros. Sunday night baseball. The script writes itself. Jeez Louise. What is the Sunday night game this week? Dodgers and Padres. I mean, that's just become Dodgers-Padres baseball. That's all. Every time the Dodgers and Padres play, ESPN feels like they've got to have them on there. Let's see, put the scoreboard, get you some live scores there. Braves won 12-5. You see that live games going on right now is Padres and Rockies. Padres up 3-0. I got that one right. Astros up on the Guardians 3-2, and the Nationals beat the Brewers 3-2. So for you Reds fans, good news for you there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Sarge should be joining us, and we are going to be talking some American League, who made themselves better outside the Astros. I mean, we know the Astros went out and got Verlander. But what else? Because the Red Sox, they made an addition. Couple other teams are moving and shaking. Big picture, because the Braves plan on being in the World Series. Who the hell are we going to be playing? All right, we'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here on WQEE 99.1 FM. I think we're still going on a few CBS affiliates around the country. And, of course, Braves Country HD here on YouTube. YouTube.com/Braves Country. Find us today.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit
the armchair quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the armchair quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the armchair quarterbacks live 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback, the all-American man.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
It's baseball season now, but hockey will be back before you know it. Join the Columbus River Dragons as they celebrate the team's fifth anniversary season in 2023-24. Season tickets are on sale now with no price increase from last season. Lock up your favorite seat for every exciting moment. Call the River Dragons at 706-507-4625 or go online to rdragons.com. That's rdragons.com. River Dragons hockey. Get fired up! It's summertime, and that means the return of all the fun and excitement of Chattahoots Baseball at historic Golden Park. Bring the whole family down for a night of fun. Tickets start as low as $10 with a discount for kids, seniors, and active military. Or celebrate a special night at the park with a group package or suite night. For game dates and more, visit GoHoots.com. That's GoHoots.com.
Triple decker burn!
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at rdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at rdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Although edited, tonight's thriller contains suspense and violence which may be unsuitable. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive Time on WQEE.
Ready for the big day, opening day, big game?
Maz, we stink every year. This is not a big game.
Yes, it is.
It's not a big game.
Yes, it is. I blew off my daughter's ballet recital for this.
I've seen your daughter dance. She sucks.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
Which one? Ballet or tap?
It all sucks.
Marie, you're a beautiful dancer.
Atrocious.
Ugh. Johnny.
Unwatchable.
Stop it.
It's awful.
Lovely.
No, it's not lovely. Someone's got to tell her. It stinks.
Welcome back. Atlanta Braves win it 12-5. Home runs galore. You got Ronald Acuña Jr. with a three-run jack. Austin Riley with a two-run home run. Matt Olson a solo shot, 12 runs. And cheering. Biggest surprise the entire day was that old Cheerios went five innings. So you love that. Welcome on to the show. Is that dirty bastard Sergeant Timus Wooten and his stupid Red Sox that I had to go up there and watch beat us two times in Fenway? How are you, sir?
Oh,
I'm just, you know, all the excitement from the Red Sox trade deadline has kept me up all night. So. Oh,
well, I'm right there with you, buddy. What did y'all get, an infielder, a backup infielder?
Sure.
What is his name? Luis Urias. When I first saw the name, I was thinking it was the pitcher from the Dodgers. I was like, holy crap, they really went all in. Yeah, never mind. It's the infielder. Never mind.
No, he had, I think, 55 major league at bats. He's batting like a buck 80 or something like that. It is a real win for us. Very good.
Rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Braves added Brad Hand, but see, or the thing is that it is getting lost in this. The week before, we did add Pierce Johnson, and I think it goes under the radar. He's a pretty good right-hander out of the bullpen. He pitched today. He's got a nasty curveball and a good fastball. He had bad numbers, but he was in Colorado, and his splits away from Coors Field were much better. So I'm excited about him. I'm excited about Brad Hand's a left-handed specialist. That's all he is. You're not going to be able to have him go in there. Let's go shut down the eighth. Bases loaded. Right in the middle of the order. Lefty, righty. No. He's a left-handed specialist. He's either going to pay big dividends or it's going to come back and slap you in the face because righties hit much better against him. So if he doesn't get the lefty that he's supposed to come in to get with having to face the three batters nowadays, it could backfire. But I like the depth. And then we're getting back other guys. So it's such a cliche, but it is like you're getting a big acquisition at the trade deadline. Max Fried is supposed to come back on Friday. He hasn't pitched in 2.5 months. Kyle Wright should be back in September. So all that, and I didn't think we needed to add our offense is fantastic. I would have liked a little more depth, but I'm curious what your thoughts are because other than the Houston Astros, there wasn't anything groundbreaking done yesterday. Now, Texas made some moves, but I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that Texas and Houston were going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they tried. At least they did something, you know. This was a kind of a boring, sort of mundane trade deadline, you know.
Across the board for all teams, yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't look at Verlander being some exciting thing because I felt like he never left Houston. So it's like, you know, I was talking about last hour. I was like, it's like he took a four-month vacation and goes, yeah, it's a nice place to live, but I don't want to pitch in New York. So, you know.
I honestly forgot he was pitching for the Mets. In my head, he was still an Astro anyway.
So did he. He missed the first month or two of the season. So he forgot he was pitching for the Mets.
That's good work if you can get it, I guess.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
And, you know, Scherzer moved on to Texas.
These obnoxious Mets fans that tried to cram Uncle Stevie down our throats the last couple off seasons about how he was going to buy every championship. And now they are paying the state of Texas $90 million so that Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander won't wear their uniforms? How does Billy Epler keep his job? How is he woken up today with his damn job?
The same way Chaim Bloom did.
So your boy Bloom did a little bit of a survey while I was in Boston. You wanted me to ask the Red Sox fans. And the ones that I talked to, there were a couple of feverish ones that want him fired. There were some that thought he was doing a pretty good job and they're still waiting for the dust to settle. I was like, all right, well, how long do you give this guy?
5 years already.
Is this his fifth year?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I should have pulled it up, but I always had bad soul wherever I was at, and I was just like, I know he's been there a few years because I knew Dombrowski had left. There was the main thing, and that's why I wish I was standing there today. The main thing that I got, so I probably asked in and around Fenway's where I pretty much asked the questions. I asked one jackass. He didn't even know who he was. So I was like, never mind. he goes, what'd you think I knew? I don't know, because you're wearing a Red Sox hat and we're like, you know, a couple of miles from Fenway. But the main, I'll put it this way, 25% like them, 25% despise them. The middle 50% said that they wanted to see what he did at this deadline. And if he didn't really do anything, they're ready to move on. And I said, and my biggest thing, because they were saying, well, he isn't anything in the offseason, I was like, well, is that him or is it ownership? Because there's not many GMs who go, I'm not spending any money. I don't care what they tell me. You know, like, what are you gaining out of that? And so that was the consensus of the ones that like him. They said, basically, his hands have been tied. The ones, the psychotic ones that wanted him fired, like, you know, 6 years ago, before he ever stepped in the office, they didn't want to hear any of that. But the main focus was, well, what does he do this? Because at first I thought that a lot of them were talking about the off season. I said, isn't it any of the off seasons? Well, let's see what he can pull off during the trading deadline. All right, he didn't do anything. So I would say now they would all be saying bye. But it's still a combination between the ownership and him. It can't just be him, because they haven't spent it. When's the last time, outside of Rafael Devers, when's the last time that they went on a spending spree? It's been years.
Yeah, since Dombrowski.
Which is really strange because, and you know this, but it's really strange because for years and years and years, my entire adult life, Boston's always been right there with the Yankees spending, always. And now the two of them have their coupon books out. Now, I did like the move the Yankees made. I really liked Middleton. I would have loved. He was on my wish list for the Braves. But the Yankees statistically have the best bullpen in baseball. They added to their bullpen. Okay, but you're not hitting the ball. There was a statistic out there the other day, T, that I was floored by because it's the Yankees and because of where they play. They had the worst left-handed OPS in Major League Baseball over the last five seasons. The worst!
How?
Because they don't have any left-handed hitters. And how is that possible? But you think about their lineup, who do they have that's worth a hoot? It's Stanton. It's Judge. Even when he's not worth a darn now, but when he was hitting, it was, what's his name, Josh Donaldson?
Yeah.
Rizzo hit well last year, but he has been awful. He has the worst OPS for a first baseman. It's either May 16th or 17th of this year on. He has one home run batting like 190. That's Rizzo. He fell off the planet.
Yeah, he got all Eric Gagne about him. Like, he was good and then he wasn't.
And look, they all keep contributing. Well, it's because Judge has been hurt. It can't just be one dude gets hurt and you all forget how to hit. Every one of you.
Did you see Boone's statement from last night?
No, I didn't.
He was talking about...
Was it, I give up?
No.
Well, that's what we're going to do at the deadline. Screw all y'all.
I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but he's like, yeah, you know, we gave some good at bats, and I can tell, you know, the guys were really – they struck out 18 times, the Yankees did last night. And he was talking about how great the bats were and all this. I'm like, dude, if you're striking out 18 out of 27 times –
And once again, I don't even put that on him. I think that's coach speak, right? I put that on the front office of the Yankees. When you tell me that the OPS is one of the worst from the left-handed side of the plate in Yankee Stadium.
Yankee freaking stadium. It's got the shortest left-handed porch outside of what, the pesky pole? But the pesky pole is literally, you have to shoot it right down the line. If you don't get it, it goes back, right? It's the shortest full porch in baseball, and you don't have left-handed power hitters, and you have not been going, other than Rizzo, you have not been going after free agents. How did the Yankees not go all in to go get Matt Olson? When he was available for Oakland last year, I thought for sure he was going. How did the Yankees not back the truck up and go get Freddie Freeman?
They don't really do that anymore, though.
That's what I'm saying. So are they the New York Yankees? I don't think they are anymore.
They're like...
They're being run to make money nowadays. Steinbrenner never used to run. Well, Papa Steinbrenner never used to run it that way. Junior Steinbrenners, they're there to make as much money as they can.
Yeah, they're pie charts and Excel spreadsheets, guys, admittingly. And, you know, Bloom is nothing but analytical. He made a statement yesterday right after the trade deadline had expired, and all the Boston sports analogists and everything and podcasts, their heads are exploding all over Beantown today. And he's like, yeah, well, the percentages showed us that we probably weren't making the playoffs.
Who said that?
Bloom.
He said that yesterday?
Yeah, right after the trade deadline.
Dude, you're right there. You're a game and a half back. What is he talking about?
Before that, he was calling them underdogs. So if you think your team is an underdog and they're a game and a half or two games away from making the playoffs, you can't add anybody. You can't anybody to help.
See, rebuttal to that would be, well, StatCast is showing me that your ass is fired. Go pack your bags.
Yeah. And
what are we talking about?
He just hoards.
Today's sports front offices, the majority of them are trash because they only read off the as you said, the spreadsheets, right? And they only go off the percentages. The game is not played on paper. It's been famously said many a times. The game is not played on paper. It's played inside your television sets and radio and your radios, right? It's not played on not played on paper. So you've got to play the games out. You've got to give your – and also, there is a jolt, and that's the reason why I was down on what the Braves did not do. And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not over here saying that they needed to go all in or whatnot, but there's a jolt that comes into the locker room when a big piece comes into your locker room. Doesn't have to be groundbreaking, but it's got to be someone that the team goes, all right! Let's go. Not who? I shouldn't have to Google who you're making, right? I shouldn't have to go on Baseball Reference and go, who the hell is this guy? And most of the teams yesterday, that's what they did. They're so in love with the potential.
Well, you know, let's talking about trading Paxton, our best pitcher this year, by the way. And he just keeps saying it's the future, the core. The reason we are where we are is because of the – No. Now, have the young kids been playing better? Yes. But they're not the reason we are two games from a wild card. No. We're not. Do nothing. What does that say? I mean, Rafael Devers last week was like, hey, we need pitching. Like he said that we need pitching to the media.
Did he?
Yeah. We need pitching. And you go out and get nothing. What does that say to the clubhouse? You don't care. The white flag was raised.
I talked about this before in years past with other general managers, but I'll put it with Bloom. I don't know him as well, but I'm leaning off of what you tell me. Some of these guys, not only do they let the analytics do their job for them,
You got to watch the damn games, first of all. That's first and foremost. You need to know what your team is. You need to have that feel. But the other thing is, they fall in love with the rankings of their farm system and trying to get their farm system and not give a damn about anything else.
Hoarder. He's a prospect hoarder. He will not. This guy's supposed to be good in four seasons. So he's not going anywhere. I'm not going to trade Verdugo and throw this guy in with him. No. To get a starting pitcher because Sale can't throw anymore or something. No, 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 no. He will not. It's always, well, the future says this. No, dude, you got a chance to make the playoffs. Make a little noise.
Right, yeah.
And you do nothing? Nothing. And he was talking to the Dodgers about trading Paxton.
Hold that thought. We need to take a quick break. 420, smoke them if you got them. We'll be back in a flash to talk more about the baseball deadline.
I got back to the hotel at 7:30 this morning, and I went up to the desk to leave a wake-up call for 7 o'clock.
Hey, sports fans. The Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League. And the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE The Key, 99.1 FM. And simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country.
Do you want to lose 18 pounds fast and improve your health? Now you can lose up to 18 pounds in your first 2 months with Nutrisystem. Get delicious breakfasts, lunches, dinners, even snacks and shakes delivered safely to your door. All delivered for free. It's easy to follow, and you'll see results in your first week. You'll get your favorite foods made healthier and perfectly balanced to put your body in fat-burning mode. Millions of people have lost weight with Nutrisystem, and you can too. Lose up to 18 pounds in your first 2 months.
You get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. So much, I'm going to have to speed things up. You can get the Farmers Signal app, and that could get you up to 15% off your auto policy. That's just for using the app and driving like the normal speed limited hearing full stop making lane change signaling human being you are. Get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. Start with a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Are you an adult?
Yeah.
And do you have a lot going on in your life?
I am so busy.
Introducing fantasy football.
What's that?
Move aside, job and relationships. You're now the general manager of a football team, and that takes a lot of time and effort.
I really shouldn't be doing this. It's not good for me.
With fantasy football, you can spend hours researching useless stats, have your underlying anger issues revealed on Sundays, and Venmo people hundreds of dollars with a football emoji.
Well, I'll get that money back when I win the championship.
You say that every year.
Okay, this year is different. I have been so unlucky in the past.
Why would you need to know about world news or how a Roth IRA works when you could know who the Saints wide receiver 3 is?
Chris Olave. But I think he'll be the number one by the end of the year because Michael Thomas does.
Shut up.
I used to think fantasy football was fun, but it's not fun anymore. I have a lot riding on this emotionally.
Try it today.
Armchair.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com/Braves Country. Otani, you didn't get one from us. Braves win the series 2-1. Tell you what, he's impressive though. Otani, holy cow.
Oh, God. Yeah, he's pretty good.
He should have had a home run. Michael Harris, a second, robbed one from him, Timus. I think it was Monday night. He went over the wall, just over the wall, and robbed it. And you should have seen Ohtani. He just kind of gave a, all right, evidently you're pretty good.
Yeah.
When you get a tip of the cap from Ohtani, you've done something, right?
Yeah,
so I wanted to address one of the comments. Margaret, Marcelo Zuna is not a free agent at the end of the season. We still have one more year. So I know you're worried about us losing him, but and it's not, some fans want him gone, but he still has one more year after this. So there you have that. So, yeah. He signed a four-year deal in 21. So 21, 22, 23, 24 will be his final year. And he's not going anywhere. I tried to tell people that at the beginning of this season. They all wanted to trade Ozuna. For, I was like, first of all, you can't trade someone when they're at their lowest value. You can't do it. It's stupid. I mean, unless you're the New York Mets and you just have a fire sale at everybody's lowest value. But if you know what you're doing, you don't do it. Now he's come off. He's going to hit somewhere between 25 to 30 home runs. I doubt they trade him. I doubt they would get back what he's worth realistically. And although a lot of fans have had problems with him, he is extremely popular in the clubhouse. I saw it firsthand. The guys gravitate to him. At that Boston series, the fans, they can say all they want. They like Ozuna. They were all crowding around him. And he was throwing balls to him, giving hot. So, it's all a bunch of, I call it Twitter talk, where they, you know, tough guy talk, when they, you know, say what they say. Ozuna, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's slamming home runs. He's hitting the ball hard. He actually has good at-bats. Yeah, he strikes out from time to time. Everybody does. But honestly, he has good at-bats. I watch this every day now that I'm doing these games every day. And I'm telling you right now, you'll watch him, you're like, he is not scared to work the count and take a free pass. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I'd be shocked. Now, yeah, if the right trade comes along, of course you entertain any trade, but I think he's staying. So there you have that. Atlanta Braves win 12-5. We're talking the deadline. We're focusing more on the American League. If you want to hear about the National League, that was previous segments, so it's easy to rewind on our YouTube channel, Braves Country HD. Let's go ahead and focus back on the American League. And look, you're looking at this now, T. See, I do want to see if there's any new news. Saw Willie Calhoun got released from the Yankees, DFA'd. They tried to send him for assignment, and he refused it, so he's going to be a free agent. See who. Some other guy's getting DFA'd. And this is going to happen a lot in the next couple of days. After the trade deadline, you got to make room, guys coming in. So here we go. Let me see here. MLB transactions. The Phillies have released Josh Harrison. That's interesting. His bat is no longer there, but he's a good clubhouse guy. He's a reliable glove off the bench. Maybe someone will pick him up. Andrew Vasquez, the left-handed pitcher, has been released by the Phillies. That's interesting. Calhoun by the Yankees. The Padres DFA Brent Honeywell. That is interesting as hell. So for people who don't know Brent Honeywell, sit down and let me tell you a story, kids. Brent Honeywell was the top prospect in Major League Baseball a handful of years ago in the Tampa Bay Rays organization. He was traded out to San Diego after some injuries, and he got to the majors and never has made it click. And they've now DFA'd him. So that is wild. The Cubs DFA Trey Mancini. Dallas Keuchel has opted out of his minor league contract. Who gives a crap about that? That's not even worth a tweet. He has been done forever. Manny Pena, catcher from the A's, has been DFA'd. Very good defensive catcher, terrible offensive catcher. He was actually an ex-Brave. The Braves had him before they started acquiring all this catching talent a couple seasons ago. Red Sox DFA, Jorge Alfaro. Didn't know if you knew that. Mm-hmm. All this stuff has happened in the last several hours. Tigers, they acquire Eddie Leonard, infielder from the Dodgers, for cash considerations, but that was right at the trading deadline. That was one of those, rather than a DFA him, where you can have him for cash, and that's how that went down.
Did you see, with speaking of Detroit, that Erod shut down the trade to the Dodgers?
Yeah, he says it's because he wants to stay closer to home, to family on the East Coast. I think differently. I believe it's because he's got an opt-out clause in his contract, right? He's going to opt out. He's had a phenomenal year. Let's be fair.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like this is probably his last shot. I think he's 30, 31 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. So he's going to opt out. And do you want to pitch an extra month of baseball and risk it? Because you know as well as anybody, he's had a history of injury. Do you want to risk that injury crap over a playoff run when you're talking about your financial future? Now, granted, if he were to get injured, he's got 3 years, 45 or 49 left on his deal. It's not like he's going to be poor.
No.
But he believes he can make much more. I don't know if that's really going to be the case, but he's going to opt out, and the Tigers want him to opt out. So the Tigers are going to be very, very cautious with his innings as well. Right? Because you don't want him getting hurt, because you want him going, crap, Tommy John, well, there goes $49 million out the damn window. Great. Good thing we were trying to squeeze him there in September. So, there you go. So, I think that's one of the real reasons why. I've never heard anything bad about the Dodgers. Do I hate the Dodgers? Yeah, but that's selfish reasons, because I'm a fan of the non-Dodgers. But I've never heard anything bad about their organization. You're trying to tell me that you'd rather live in Detroit, Michigan than L.A.? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Talk to me in January, buddy.
He says he wants to be closer to home. You want to be closer to hell.
Yeah. You want to be closer to 1980 route.
Yeah. Detroit. Exactly. You spelled Beirut wrong. What are we talking about? Anyway.
So, let's talk. Toronto bettered themselves, right? The Rays bettered themselves.
Yeah, okay, so.
Orioles kind of stood pat, right? Did they make any major? I didn't see any major moves by them.
All right, so that's debatable. The Orioles, here's the deal. If this was 2019, they made a phenomenal trade. This is not 2019. This is 2023. They brought in Jack Flaherty from the Cardinals. I can't remember if he's going to be a free agent or if he has 1 year. I think he's going to be a free agent. But he is a shadow of his former self. Now, he's had three really good starts recently, and that was enough for them to sucker in to get the trade. But I think all you need to know about this is that they didn't give up a whole hell of a lot to get him.
Wow.
So they hope that Jack Flaherty is going to be an innings eater, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
What they're really hoping is a couple of the guys they sent down that have had some issues, they're going to get straight, right? Flaherty does have playoff experience. I get that part of it. But his velocity's down. But that's essentially all they did. I mean, what did Toronto really do? They added, from the Cardinals, right? It's his birthday.
This morning, I was listening to every Boston analyst rant and scream into microphones. And they were like,
Paul DeYoung, the shortstop, Paul DeYoung.
He's okay. But they did that as a backup plan in case Bo Bichette misses a lot of time. Bo Bichette had just banged his knee up the night before. They said,
and their closer got injured and their shortstop got injured. And
That's right. They did add Jordan Hicks. I forgot about that. So yeah, that was an impressive move.
Yeah, and this all happened like 24 hours after those guys got injured, and the Sox. What I mean, again, we did. It's not like Bloom's making bad decisions. He's not making any decisions, which is just worse.
Handle it.
He wants to break out his calculator and try to figure out the game of base. The guy is a robot.
The dumbfounding one to me of all the moves that was made yesterday. And the national media tried to sell this to me like this was, look how good. They're really going for it. The San Diego Padres sent three prospects. One of them's pretty well thought of. For Rich Hill and G-Man Choi. Rich Hill, he's like your ex-girlfriend. He's got to be like 60. And G-Man Choi... If G-Man Choi was any good, would the Rays have let him go? No. I used to be a big G-Man Choi fan. I used to love to watch him play, but he's, at best, a left-handed pinch hitter off the bench. But Rich Hill?
And record for those who don't know, she only looked 60.
She was actually 72.
He read 73-year-old's level, though.
She had a heck of a set of teeth in her pocket, let me tell you.
Dude, they entered a room before she did. Chicken fence.
First time I met her, she was stepping on her nipples. they tried to sell it to me. Like San Diego, by the way, we're talking about while we're in our 30s, early 30s. Nowadays, we're not as picky. But
like my women.
But Rich Hill, that's what San Diego's going all in on. What is he at best come postseason? A left-handed reliever to eat some innings?
No, Rich had a good year. In a good couple of years.
Rich Hill?
Yeah.
His ERA's up around 5. Rich Hill's like 40, literally 43 years old. He's 43, about to be 44. He stinks. I couldn't believe anybody wanted him. He gets pounded. He's played for the... I don't remember who it was. I think it was Joey brought it up yesterday. Said that he's played for the Red Sox three different stints since he's been 40. This dude is never going to leave the club. You're going to see that dude. He's going to be a bullpen catcher. He's a lifer. You know, you got to love that about him. But he ain't going to be the difference of the Padres coming back from behind to win a wild card.
And who was he with before this season? I can't remember.
What's that?
Who did he play for?
Pittsburgh.
That's right.
He's been in Pittsburgh the whole time. He started off with a pretty good season, and then he became Rich Hill again after like his fourth or fifth outing, and he's just been getting pounded. His ERA, it's either 4.76 or 4.86. I remember seeing it yesterday. I was like, is he doing better than I thought he was? No. He's doing Rich Hill things.
Well, 4.8 in the AL.
G-Man Choi's not even starting for the freaking Pirates. San Diego's going to go out there. And look, I get it. They're making moves to help them depth. I get that part of it. But for the national media, look what San Diego's doing. They're just wheeling and dealing out there.
And, you know, the last couple of seasons, they could say that because they've just been throwing money at people. This wasn't a great move. Don't get me wrong, but I mean,
I don't know much about
the reliever that Baltimore got, Reinhart, I've heard good things, but I've not seen him pitch, I don't believe. So they got him from Seattle. Honestly, the two most aggressive teams in the National League were Arizona and Miami. They didn't bring in great players, but they're definitely trying to make the playoffs, right? They brought in what they need. I'll tell you what, the smoothest move that I saw. Now, look, a little surprising they gave up Jake Eater, but they brought in, Miami did, Jake Berger, the third baseman from the White Sox, who still has, it's either 3 or 4 more years of arbitration control left. And he's like 27 years old. He hits for a low average. He's got 25 home runs. So he's hitting like around 215, but hell, nowadays, 215 is the new 275. I was impressed that Miami was aggressive. They haven't been in years past. Tampa Bay, they were selling and buying. It was kind of interesting. I heard someone make a joke. I forget what the move was. Something happened a few days ago, and they said, so the future Cy Young winner goes to Tampa Bay. It was something off the trash heap that Tampa Bay got. And they, you know, he's going to get down there for 2 seasons, and all of a sudden come up with the loop-de-loop pitch that no one's ever seen, and he's just going to be mowing them down. The one that's interesting that got DFA'd, the Braves country ought to pay attention to because he's had a sorry year, but he's very, very popular with the Braves players because you see him joking around with them constantly, is Jean Segura. So he got moved by Miami to go to Cleveland, but they dumped him immediately after. Jean Segura could get scooped up by the Braves in a backup role. He's long past his prime. But I don't know much, but I know one thing. If you're the LA Dodgers and you go for E-Rod, and instead you get Ryan Yarbrough from the Royals. I remember when that dude was good. That was a long time ago. Hell, they might have been, he's when he was with Tampa, and they might have been called the Devil Rays. It's been so long ago. Like, that's been a long time ago.
I just saw an article that they're saying
don't click the on Reds it.
Should try to pick up Brent Honeywell. They're saying that seems like a Chaim Bloom move to go get that Padres pitcher that was just DFA'd.
That's the one that I just talked about.
Right, yeah. They're saying the Sox pick him up.
I don't know. Look, I'm sure that that's just some clickbait stuff that you're scrolling through, because I always caution people, unless you're reading an actual, like, you know, beat writer, I would be a little concerned with people's opinions, because nowadays, these electronic magazines, they hire high school and college kids to fill up. And so they go, write something, and so they'll come up with this. But Brent Honeywell at one point was the number one prospect in baseball. I know that to be a fact. I also believe that was well before the pandemic.
I'm just shocked they thought that, you know, Bloom would make a move. That's more shocking to me than what the...
If he did that, I don't think it's for a move for this year. I think it's more of a, let's see what we can get out of him down the road. The other thing was San Diego went out and got Scott Barlow from KC, and a lot of people were big on him. He had an ERA of 5.05 before he got traded. And I don't want to hear about his spin rate. That ball's spinning over the wall is where it's spinning. Okay. Sometimes these knobs fall in love with their statistics. You got to watch the damn game.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel or do you see Bloom's big, you know, he's always talking future. Do you see the future for Sox being anything but mediocre?
Okay, first of all, I think they've got a pretty good offense. I really do. I think their biggest problem, and you will, you know this, is the depth of the starting pitching. I think they've got something in Brian Bayo.
Yeah.
Obviously, Paxton's pitched well. Are they getting anything out of Sale this year? I keep hearing these rumors he's coming back. Is he really coming back?
Oh, he threw the best bullpen session of history the other day.
Let's go! It's like when I hear this crap about Michael Soroka. Like, he's like phenomenal down on AAA. Then he comes back up again. Bang, gone forever. Bang, gone forever. He got the win. What do you want? I don't know. For him to go, for him to not look like he's giving batting practice out there.
Dude, there was they were talking the other day. Sale.
Marcus Stroman just went to the 15-day IL. Freak out for Cubs fans incoming. He was scheduled to pitch against the Braves this weekend. Well, bye. Anyways, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Sale threw a bullpen session at Fenway the other day. This is what the Red Sox fans have been reduced to as far as they said that the catchers and the coaches walked past them and said and nodded their head and said, okay. And they're like, so yeah, it's obvious. I'm like,
Bo Bichette, by the way, was placed on the 10-day IL 30 minutes ago. So, DeYoung's going to step into the starting position. I'm trying to see if there's anything else new that's come along. I don't see anything. Nope, there's nothing else. Okay, so we're all caught up there. Red Sox tonight.
They're playing right now, aren't they?
I do not know. Are they? I've got the Cleveland game on, and I've got the San Diego game on. I did not know they were on. If I'd have known that, I'd have put them on.
Let me take a look. Pretty sure they minutes ago.
Let me take a look. Who are they playing? I thought it was a night game. Is it not?
Seattle? Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, all right, so yeah, it's probably their getaway game. Okay. So they are, was Bayo last night or is he tonight? I saw him on the lineup somewhere.
Oh, I want to say he pitched last night.
I'm pulling it up right now. Let me see here. This thing's taking forever, though. I swear, man, the MLB app, dude. What decade is this thing from? Let me see here. Red Sox. I don't see them on the docket. I know they're playing. Here we go. Top of the third, up 2-0. It's Gilbert on the mound for Seattle. I think Bayo is on the. He either pitched last night or today because I've seen it recently. It might have been last night. Did y'all win last night?
Yeah. We broke a 3-game losing streak last night.
Well, then he probably pitched because that kid's got it, man. I liked him. I got to see him live. I got to see in Boston, I got to see him, and I got to see Strider up close and personal. That was those two going at it, that was impressive.
So what overall, what was your first Fenway experience? Was it everything you thought it should be, or?
Well, if I hated the stadium, I wouldn't be wearing the Fenway hat. I don't know if you can make that up. I mean, it's a Sitgo hat, but it says Fenway on it, and it's got Boston on the back. I didn't want anything with Red Sox on it because I don't want people to go, oh, you're a Red Sox fan? Then I got to tell that damn story. So I found this. When I saw the Sitgo behind the stadium, I told my wife, I said, we got to go over there and get you a Coke. She's like, why? I was like, because. It's like, this is one of the most famous gas stations in the history of sport. It's got to be the most famous gas station. I'd explain that whole thing to her. Oh, by the way, the guy that owned the gas station, I asked him, I said, real quick, won't take up much of your day, tell me your best Red Sox story. He said, no, no. And then all of a sudden, whatever the hell I said triggered something. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, Manny Ramirez, very, very nice. I said, is he? And he told me some story of how Manny Ramirez, obviously during his playing careers, there was a charity, and I want to say it was for child's, man, it was either cancer or it was something, it was some kind of child's charity, right? And some of it was his money, some of it was others, but he, regardless, he did the footwork to put it together, gave whatever this charity was $20 million. And he said that him and his son met him, nicest guy. He said super nice and was, you know, was talking to him and everything. And he was talking about how Manny was trying to tell him, because all these stupid players buy these cars and buy this and that. And he goes, you buy houses, you buy, you know, all the, you know, stocks, bonds, the whole nine yards, right? So I guess of all the things I would have never expected, Manny Ramirez is fiscally responsible.
Yeah, you wouldn't think those words would collide.
Yeah, Manny being Manny? I thought he'd have blown it all on the roulette wheel.
I didn't. The word responsible and Manny would ever collide in the same sentence. But, yeah,
according to the guy that owns the gas station behind Fenway.
Well, I would know. It'd be the guy who runs the Citco behind Fenway.
That's why I wanted to know. I asked him. I said, tell me your best. Cause I,
where the knowledge is found. Sure.
Wanted to share that with you.
He was, probably met Poppy and mistook him for Manny or something.
The biggest takeaway with Fenway, incredible stadium, lousy food.
Yeah, the food's
and
bad there.
Very disappointing considering the area of the country, the nostalgia of that stadium. I mean, they need to hire me to just teach them how to cook, man. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I was trying to tell the dude making the hot dogs, like, dude, what are you doing? Because I had a few libations going on, but I was like, what are you doing, son? He's like, what's that? These are steamed hot dogs. No. Very good hot dogs. Like, no. I just gave you $25 for junk. And I was like, I know what you're thinking. Well, you got my $25. Like, but I don't live here. If I lived here, I would never buy another single dog again. I made sure to buy them in the stadium, and I made sure to buy them out of the stadium because I wanted to be able to, you know, to compare them. Junk. The sausage dog that they give you peppers and onions, they're solid, but they're not. It's just because sausage is awesome, right? It's got nothing to do with. But the stadium itself, I thought it was really cool. We did standing room only the second night behind home plate. That was a cool experience. Talked to a lot of folks there. In fact, I think one guy's going to be on the show. Lives in Boston, but is a Braves fan and a huge college football fan. Does he date a Boston girl? Oh my God. Where they're shooting the bull about sports?
No.
Oh my God. I was like, thank God Sarge didn't marry a Boston girl, because she was a Boston girl. And it was basically like she had full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
Everything he said, she scoffed at, taking his money, she didn't want to hear anything he had to say about anything. At one point, he just looked at me. I don't want to dime him out in case one of them's listening. But he looked over me and goes, she's from Boston. I said, no, you don't say. I mean, she could take Al Capone in a knife fight, dude.
Yeah.
She was straight Boston, man. I was like, wow. You would.
I'm going to go dump my boyfriend in the harbor.
Exactly. She would so get lit up in Middle Tennessee on a Saturday night bonfire. Someone would jack her quicker than I don't know what. She had attitude for everybody. I was like, oh my God, I can just see some girl down south taking her earrings off. What are you doing? Don't worry about what I'm doing. It's about to get ugly. We're about to take her for a hayride. That's what's about to go down.
But she'll be able to pronounce cars when done with her.
Yeah. But no, I enjoyed my time. I thought it was a really, I'll tell you what was really cool outside of the stadium. We took the, it was called the Freedom Pizza Tour. So there's all these Freedom Tours, and it's just basically showing you the history of Boston. And this one took you to three different pizza joints. One of them theirs, so because they're doing the tour from there. So, you know, obviously there's a... But I'll tell you what, they had really good pizza. Joint was called Modern Pastry. I would have never thought that place would have good pizza called Modern Pastry, but solid pizza. Ernesto's was the best by far. I don't care what the hell they tell you. Some guy's named Mike... It's a sham. It's a scam. Everybody said Mike is where like the Ernesto's where the locals eat. Ernesto Mike's is where like people who are jumping on Yelp eat, right? And we did that tour, and that was really cool. You got to learn some really cool things. Just you know the hit because there's so much history right there, right? Obviously, we can't touch what Europe has because they're many centuries more, but it was a really cool tour, very good food, yeah, so, and it was cool, the girl that gave us the tour, she was a Florida State grad up there studying, I want to say, it wasn't Harvard, but it was one of the major colleges up there, and so that was pretty cool. She did a great job, Modern Pastry, and they had a really good cannoli. Holy crap, was that cannoli good. So that's what made it more dumbfounding. You're like, why is it you gotta take 7 feet, walk this way to the stadium, and the food sucks? And I drank a lot of Sam Adams because all the other had was Bud Light, and that ain't happening. We don't have to peel back that onion. So... And by the way, you could literally just swim your way through the Bud Light wall. Backstroke. There was no one over there. I was like, man, y'all got a great marketing department. You're really doing it big. I'll tell you one thing that they do better than Atlanta. Now, I'd say Atlanta Stadium's much nicer, but it's newer. The food's much better, but hell, we're in Dixie. Is that supposed to shock you? But their team store is much bigger and much more easier to navigate. It's huge, but then again, it's not in the stadium. It's outside the stadium, right?
Right across. Yeah. Right. I've spent an enormous amount of money in there.
Yeah. The Brave Stadium, it's in the store's inside. Or it's actually like right on the cusp. It's tiny. There's actually one inside the stadium, but it seems big only because you just went into a closet from the first one. Yeah. So it's not really that big. But that's the one thing that the Braves Stadium could improve. But other than that, I'll take Truist any day. But I'm glad I went. I would go again someday. But I'm as opposed to you know how we normally were sneaking flasks in our pocket. I'm sneaking a hot dog or a hamburger in my pocket next time. I'm not eating at this joint.
It's a happening, though. Like,
I did right not outside. Have clam chowder in the joint, man. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, but outside the stadium before the game, you got the guy on stilts, you got the band, the jazz band.
No, don't get me wrong. It was cool. It was a cool atmosphere. I enjoyed myself. Even with the loss, I enjoyed myself. I thought that the standing room only up above right field is underrated as hell. If you get there early enough, you can get a good seat. Dude, that's a cool, that's a cool place.
Yeah, that view is unmatched, in my
What's
opinion.
What's your walk-off? We're running out of time.
Hashtag fire Chaim Bloom or shoot him, something, drag him. I don't care anymore. Just I think I hate him.
I think I hate him. I think I really hate him.
I'm so sad.
Yeah, I'm not excited about what we did at the deadline, but then again, when you got the best team and you got a deep bench and a deep system. I kind of get why they didn't want to, but still, man, I still go with the one thing. My walk off is when you've got a chance to win the whole damn thing, push your chips in. I don't give a crap about us making the playoffs the best record and going, don't even win a pennant. We better win the pennant.
It doesn't mean a thing until you get the ring.
if we don't win the pennant, I'm going to revisit this. We have to at least, it's pennant or bust. I really am thinking World Series. But you better win the pennant after the season we've had. And you didn't do anything big at the deadline. You better be right. That's all I'm going to say. All right, brother. We'll see you next week. Tomorrow, live 3 to 5. Stay tuned for the Brian Snow Show right here on WQEE. And we'll be back live 3 to 5 tomorrow. And we got the wrestling show with Joey and Tones tomorrow at the 4 o'clock hour. Have a great day, y'all. Braves win! Braves win! Your Atlanta Braves win!
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I...
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.